There's a place in America for young men and women with big ideas where entrepreneurial people hope to get rich and earn fame by opting out of college and the Ivy Leagues, where role models are expected to wear baggy jeans and a t-shirt, not a suit and tie.
The place, the technology hub of Silicon Valley. And our next guest is a reporter who followed the young men and women in Northern California who are taking unconventional roads to become the next Mark Zuckerberg. Alexandra Wolf is a staff reporter for The Wall Street Journal, and she joins us now to talk about her new book. It's called Valley of the Gods, a Silicon Valley story. Alexandra, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Let's start by having you tell us about Peter Thiel's 20 Under 20 program to get kids to what he calls stop out of college.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually a play on Timothy Leary. He had a phrase called it was sort of a hippie phrase that Peter Thiel spun around to be stop out, start up. And so he convinced 20 students under 20 to drop out of college and start companies out in Silicon Valley. And he'd give them $100,000 for 2 years. And they came up with all sorts of outlandish ideas, from mining asteroids to starting funds that would try to extend life forever. So it was pretty interesting to meet them.
And these kids, I mean, they're young people, but apparently they don't seem out of place in Silicon Valley, because it sounds like one of the must-haves there is youth. Why is that at such a premium?
Well, it's really funny. It's so different than the East Coast where I grew up. If you go out there, when I went out for the first time, it really looked like it was a big dorm. I mean, the offices have bean bags in them. Everybody has hoodies and jeans and sneakers. And it just, the whole look of the place is so different than on the East Coast. And I think also they were similar in that their interests were so unusual. So many of them were really interested in living forever and artificial intelligence and all sorts of new technology that comes to the East Coast a lot later. So the younger the person, the more likely they were going to think of something new, I think, went to thinking. And one founder I knew was in his 40s, except for he tried to eat less because he thought if you looked younger, I mean, if you looked thinner, you would look younger, and so it would be easier to recruit younger people because they would think, oh, I'm working for a really young CEO. So it was pretty funny the lengths that people went to look young out there.
How old are you when you're considered old in Silicon Valley?
Well, I'm 36, and I look like a grandmother out there, I think. I mean, everybody, there are actually, it's kind of a misconception because everybody looks so young, but a lot of the companies at the beginning had an adult in the room. Eric Schmidt was the CEO of Google for a time at the beginning, and he's far older than in his 20s. I believe he's now in his 50s or 60s. And so I think there, the idea with the Thiel Fellowship was to get students before they'd gone to college and learned another way of thinking and were sort of already set on a particular track. So if you got somebody young, they knew all the new code, they were up on everything, the best technology, the best strategies, the best new ideas, and that was sort of the thing, they'd get them fresh before they'd been corrupted by corporations or institutions like college.
And he did. You followed three fellows in this first class, and they were studying different things, longevity and sleep and mining asteroids. But
yeah, exactly.
Can you tell us who these people were with these eclectic interests at such a young age?
They really were interesting. I mean, the one that I followed the most closely, his name is John Burnham, and he was from just outside of Boston, and he was always sort of a misbehaved student in high school. And he read everything well before anybody else. He was so smart. He knew everything about philosophy, everything about asteroids, I guess. And he applied to the fellowship and answered. They asked this one question on the applications, which was, "What do you believe in that nobody else does?" And for most of these kids, they really had a good answer to that. They had really different opinions than most of their peers. They were so far ahead intellectually than most of their peers. And so he had an interesting story because he went out originally trying to mine asteroids, and he realized it was way harder than than he thought. And other people who with way bigger budgets had already gone into, I mean, with Elon Musk and SpaceX and Peter Diamandis, the man who created the XPRIZE, was already looking into these ideas. And he decided that he was going to pivot, a.k.a. fail and completely change his idea. And do this online currency that he would turn gold. He tried to turn gold into something you could use. You could pay with gold on your phone, and that didn't work. So then he ended up going back to college, and then in college he came up with a new idea. He posted it on a website called TechCrunch. It got a lot of attention, and then he realized, oh, this has promise. I'm going to go back to Silicon Valley, and he dropped out of college again, and he went back to Silicon Valley. He tried to do this new software company. That failed, and so then he went back to school, and he went to this really small religious liberal arts school called Thomas More, and then he decided to drop out of that school and go back to Dartmouth. So he's had this really up and down road, which a lot of them did because they'd never lived away from home, and suddenly they were bypassing college and trying to make it as adults in Silicon Valley. So it was really interesting to see the world from their point of view.
But it sounds like failure is not something that you hide, that you're ashamed of. It almost sounds like failure is at the top of your calling card in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, you're totally right. That was what everybody said. Failure was seen as such a virtue. And it was up there with words like disrupt, transgress, hack. You know, everything was sort of, they were really interested in hacking anything from morality to gender behavior to everything. I mean, it was so interesting to see how they would push the boundaries like that.
We're talking with Alexandra Wolf right now, staff reporter for The Wall Street Journal and the author of the new book called Valley of the Gods, A Silicon Valley Story. And Alexandra, your book opens with a fancy hotel. That's the scene. And these very young tech, possibly billionaires, probably a lot of wealth there, maybe being picked up by women. And it does seem as though it's run by guys. And the women that you write about, not exclusively, but a lot of them are referred to as the wives. So is Silicon Valley a guy's place?
It really feels like that. It feels like, I think they've made a lot of progress. I think there are a lot more women now in leadership roles. But the scene that you mentioned in the beginning of the book is called Cougar Night. And that is very real. And that is the only place in Silicon Valley where I saw more women than men on a given night. And it was so funny. It was this really high-end hotel on Sand Hill Road where a lot of the venture capital firms are. And every Thursday night, these women would come and they would sort of prey on these young engineers that were populated the area, and it was an unusual ratio to see there. But I do think, I mean, the one woman that I really focused on in the book, this woman, Laura Deming, who is a Thiel Fellow, she actually didn't find it to be that much of a problem because it sort of helped her stand out. I mean, she was one of the few Thiel Fellows that year in 2011. Who was a woman, and a lot of people gravitated to her because she was just so unusual. But I do feel like that's not necessarily the case across the board. I think it is. I think it does need to be addressed. And I think some companies, there are a growing number of venture capital firms that are trying to encourage female investors and the promotion of women. And so I think it has been addressed more than it was when I was first reporting the book out there 5 years ago.
And you also write that the Valley is what you call a laboratory of cultural experimentation, and it does have its own culture. Does that culture, do you think, have the power to leave the coast where it's in this little bit of a bubble and influence the culture in the rest of the country?
Well, I think in some ways it really already has. I heard this funny story about a banker who went out to Silicon Valley to underwrite one of these big tech deals or an IPO, and he's a 75-year-old guy who's used to wearing a suit every single day, and he showed up in a hoodie, and it just looked totally ridiculous. But you sort of see that style all over the rest of the country now. I mean, I took a bus tour just out of curiosity called Startup Bus from New York to Austin, Texas, where they had South by Southwest. And I couldn't believe that we stopped in a number of cities on the way. And the idea was to start companies on the bus. And so it was just part of this whole Silicon Valley mania. But all of the places we stopped had their own entrepreneur centers. I mean, there's an entrepreneur center in Nashville. There's one in San Antonio. There are entrepreneur centers and innovation labs cropping up at universities all over the country. But it does seem difficult to exactly replicate it. Nobody seems to have been able to do that. Austin would be closest. Seattle has a good long tech history. But it does seem difficult to get it exactly the same.
Well, at the end of the day, it sounds like, you know, there was mixed success. And it's not clear whether this is a place that where dreams are made or where dreams are broken. And it's a cautionary tale. How do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, I see it that way. And then in a way, it seems indicative of the cycles of Silicon Valley. About 10% of the fellows in this program, the Thiel Fellowship, went back to college. And then a fair amount of them did succeed, a handful, which in terms of proportion, is probably slightly higher than the number of people, the massive amounts of people that go to Silicon Valley to try to start companies and then actually end up being successful. And I guess it also depends on the definition of success. I mean, if you ask the Thiel Foundation, who's behind that whole fellowship that encouraged students to drop out, they would say they were just encouraging them to take a pause and not necessarily make billions of dollars, but to think, oh, maybe I don't have to join this track, or maybe I don't have to become part of this company. Maybe I can pursue what I've always wanted to do. And in a way, I think that impulse is quite admirable. I think the idea of everybody becoming an entrepreneur is probably overrated, but the idea of being entrepreneurial and being self-starting and self-motivated and come up with something new, it seems like quite a good impulse to have. I'm not as enthusiastic about the everybody fail, because it's really not that fun to fail. I mean, as all of us have failed at some point, and it's not that enjoyable. I guess it's a learning experience, but to have it be so glorified seems like could be a mistake.
And Alexander, before I let you go, I mean, based on what you saw there, is the prevailing ethos of Silicon Valley is it about making new stuff and changing the world, or is it about making billions of dollars?
I bet. I mean, to be completely honest, it felt like at the end of the day, that was more, the motive was more to make billions of dollars. But if you're going to have a pretension or an affectation around your motive, I kind of prefer the one that is, oh, I'm going to change the world, versus the one that is, how high can my number get? There's something sort of optimistic about the idea of, oh, I'm going to change the world. There, it's such a cliche. If you say, oh, I built this company to change the world, it seems like people roll their eyes in a way. But to the rest of the country and to me, I felt like it was at least a good starting point to think, oh, I'm going to move to Silicon Valley to change the world. It can be seen as a little bit megalomaniacal, but a lot of these companies actually have in really valuable ways. I mean, think of Uber and Airbnb. They've completely changed the world. And so when people go out there and look at the examples, the examples are actually doing that. So I commend the impulse, but then at the same time, I think that a lot of the motive actually is to make money and is to be successful in financially. But as long as the change the world impulse is there, I think it's probably a pretty good thing.
Alexander, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That was Alexandra Wolf. She's a staff reporter for The Wall Street Journal, and she talked to us about her new book called Valley of the Gods, a Silicon Valley story.